Podcast. I'm Stephanie. Thank you so much for joining me. You can find the Mocha Minutes podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, CastBox, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Find us on any of those platforms or where else you catch a podcast. Also still soliciting for ratings and reviews. If you would be so inclined, please leave us some 5 stars. Leave us some reviews. Would greatly appreciate it. Also, you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Mocha Minutes on all 3 of those platforms. If you want to shoot me an email, give me some feedback. Other than on those 3 places, you can email me at mochaminutes@gmail.com. Hello and welcome back to the Mocha Minutes podcast. I'm Stephanie. Thank you so much for joining me. Whew. I had vodka, y'all, so this is going to be a fun show.
Yeah, it's going to be spirited.
So it's spirited sunshine, I should say. So I have a couple of guests that, you know, they're not guests, they family. But we got to say yes.
I still take my shoes off before I enter the house.
We don't wear no shoes in no house ever. Is weird. Sidebar. I live, you know, now that I'm a whole adult and I have my own house, I don't let people walk around with shoes in my house. Like, put your shoes by the door.
We don't walk around with shoes on ourselves. Everything's at the door.
Now. It's like, that's I didn't do that in my mother's house, but now it's like, I just take off my shoes because that's what you do.
Yes, it's very rude to walk around with your shoes on someone's house.
Don't bring the outside onto my carpet.
If you walk through a bathroom, you can't walk in my house with your shoes on.
Indeed.
Now, if you live in a monastery on a mountain, then the natural mountain streams and shit.
Right. Exactly. You got to boil your feet or something. But
you know what I'm saying?
Same way. We don't allow shoes in the house. It's just a no-no.
Boil your feet. y'all, the voices you hear are Al and Yaze from We Come From Bad News. Welcome back.
Yeah, we come from Bad News Podcast, where we talk music, culture, life, and everything between two brothers that have known each other since high school and beyond. Let's get it.
I could definitely hear it whenever I hear it. I'm like, these niggas have known each other forever, and you can tell by the way y'all talk to each other.
That's a fact.
Every time I'm like, they didn't just meet. This show didn't just happen because y'all met at like a conference. Like, hey, man, we should do something together. No, it's like, y'all, no, this sounds like y'all got skin in the friendship game.
We've been friends, then went through a whole phase of like barely talking to each other. So like all the way back to like, this the only nigga that I even bothered to call on the telephone. Like, it all came all the way back full circle to be like, you know, because... real recognize real at the end of the day.
Absolutely. That is my brother. I've known him since I was 15 years old.
Yes.
We've seen a little bit of everything together. The rise, the fall, the highs, the lows, the ebbs, everything like that. And we just gotta go through it and we put it on a podcast and we broadcast it to the world. Now we're hanging out with you.
No. Yay! I appreciate you guys coming through. Yeah, every time I listen, I'm like, yeah, I can hear it. It's like you can hear it. And that's one, as someone who listens to podcasts, that's so refreshing to listen to when you hear the relationship. And so when Yaze said, a period of not talking, it's like that happens with a lot of friendships because I think a lot of people forget that friendships are relationships.
Absolutely.
You gotta cultivate those relationships. It's like, it's friendships are relationships, and they have ebbs and flows, and sometimes fucking don't want to talk to your ass. I'm like, look, you on timeout with me right now.
I mean, in this case, in this case, it's like, it was like you said, like basically Al had kids before me.
Yeah.
Mm. And he had a lot of them.
I did.
While I wasn't having no kids, it wasn't a whole ton to like be relating to.
Mm. Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, when I had a kid, it was like, oh shit.
Oh, we back. We back.
And then you start talking to me about a situation and everything, like, yeah, have the kid, bro. Enjoy. You know, it was time for you to do. He did it the right way. He met him someone. He went and got his education. He was gainfully employed. He did it the right way. Me,
You did it the more traditional, the more stable way.
We did Blockbuster and chill and from there.
But we made it. We both made it. Testimony to bad news.
And that is the whole occurrence behind We Come From Bad News, is that we come from that, but here we are today.
Yes. Look at that. See, there's hope for Stephanie yet. I'm sorry. I'm just talking to myself.
So wait a minute. You are the hope, okay? You are the hope.
I'm trying to be. I feel like, you know what? Thank you for that.
Sometimes I need a little, just receive it.
I'm not going to fight it. I'm just going to receive it. A lot of times you fight it. And I'm like, I just need to receive it. Just receive the love and not push back.
You're a sunshine. You're a sun rays. You're illuminating. That's hope. Come on, let's get
I'm
it.
Crying. That's right. That's right. It's hard sometimes.
But you know what? That's really a meta narrative on Black people. It's like Black women have had the hardest of all Black people on the planet. Probably trans Black women, the worst of the worst. But Black women have had the hardest. And Black men, whether they want to admit it or not, have always benefited from male privilege. I feel like we owe it to y'all to just be like, as Black people, hey, if you need a little positive energy, you need a little pick me up, you need a little, you know, boost. That's what Black men should be doing all the time. Cause every Black man, you know, well, most Black men have a Black mother. I ain't say all Black men. Some of us are Kaepernick. But,
right. No shame.
Some of us are Jesse Williams. Some of us are Jesse.
Don't talk about Jesse.
Respect to the white women raising Black kings. Respect to y'all. Absolutely. I appreciate y'all. But all Black men owe, I think, Black women a debt of gratitude and like whatever positive energy. So you're beautiful, you're dope, and keep doing your thing.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. You know what? There is a documentary that I want to see. It premiered apparently in September. It's called Push Out, and it's talking about violence against Black girls in schools. And I'm like, I'm so glad somebody is talking about this, because when it comes to, like, even in the framing of the Black Lives Matter movement, it kind of framed it as just Black men, excluding how Black women are treated. And now when you see all these, a few stories about Black girls in schools getting assaulted by school resource officers, literally slamming this girl on the ground, I'm like, how is she walking away from this?
It's true.
And then the dynamic of colorism involved. It's coming to, I think, Oxon Hill in February, and I'm so going to watch this documentary, because apparently it's also a book. And I'm like,
For the geographically challenged, what's Oxon Hill?
Oxon Hill is in Maryland.
City. Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, boom.
Yeah.
That's the closest to me, because they had it in D.C. and I missed it. And I was like, you know, they have a whole website. And I'm looking, where is it in Maryland?
I think so.
I was gonna say, as you were talking about it, I kind of made a mental note, like, okay, let me check around. I want to see if I can get into a screening of that one. That sounds interesting.
Because I'm like, because they, like, I think either Good Morning America or one of, like, Today Show, they had like the producer of the documentary, and she also wrote the book talking about it. I'm like, wait, why have I not heard about this documentary that came out in September? It's November.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they don't want you to.
No.
Nope. You know what I'm saying? They want you on tummy tea. And. I'm fucking with y'all. I'm trying to reclaim Hotepery. I'm trying to reclaim it.
it's back in fashion. It's back in style. Yeah, but
people giving it a bad name. They're giving it a bad name.
Poor things.
Yeah, we got Tip out here giving us a bad name.
Forms to the left for real.
Woo, let me tell you something. I will be glued to my Facebook watch on Monday when he goes and visits the Red Table. And it takes his vocabulary self on there to try to defend this. Baby, you can't.
It's going to be a lot of vocabulary used on that show. It's going to be a lot of
detrimental.
it's going to be expeditious.
Oh, Lord. Anytime your daughter got to deactivate her social medias, she basically got to stop following you. It's like, I can't even imagine. I'm like, this is a really random thing. When I became, in the old days of becoming a woman, the first person I told was my father.
Wow.
Because my mother was at work.
Okay. Wow.
And he never made me feel like, oh my God, I can't. He's like, okay, well, this is what's happening and this is what we're going to do. And it was probably the most, because one, it's terrifying when you're like a young girl. And then to have somebody be so sympathetic and empathetic to you because that's your father, that's what's supposed to happen. Not your dumb ass father going to the GYN. My father's never been to the GYN appointment with me, ever. Never. Like,
wow. Yeah, I have daughters, and I gotta say, I thought I found the whole thing to be creepy.
Creepy.
Yeah, I just thought that was a little creepy. And I mean, yes, I understand we want to protect them, and you want to do that. But one, if you're gonna do all of that, you should be doing it to your sons as well, because they out here in these streets. Shout out to Damani though. Shout out to Damani Harris. He was at the Crit Show the other night. That's a good kid. So I don't know about the other one, but I like Damani. But go ahead. He was a good kid. I liked him. He had great energy.
You better plug your life.
The same thing. When I meet people in real life, they always seem to be good people. I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I only meet people when I don't know them. I only talk shit about people I don't know, to be real.
I had to lump him in. I said, okay, let me take him out of the equation. He's all right. But anyway, he needs to balance it out and do it for everybody. And secondly, that shit is creepy. That's just where I'm at with it.
That whole meeting people in real life and they're probably cool. I'm probably going to end up saying that about Amanda Seales if I ever meet her. But for right now, I'm keeping her exactly where I'm putting her. She's in that broken clock cabinet. Stay over there.
I'd like to meet her and have a conversation with her. Just I feel about like
she
life.
Probably I wanna is really
see,
nice.
I
want to
see what life's about from her perspective. I just want to get
agree. Amanda Seales, you're welcome to come on our podcast.
Absolutely. I want to see what life's about with her. Yeah.
She can come here too, but there will be no sound effects, ma'am. I was like, what am I listening to? What is this? I don't even hear this much sound effects on Adult Swim. What the fuck is going on here?
She's doing the most. She's getting her Joe Button on.
Oh, he had another one. Okay. So I got to catch up with y'all. So Al is very busy because he always busy. He never home. He always out. He always doing something. Y'all should see his social media. He always with somebody.
I've been busy. As I've told people before, it's like 20 years worth of work that's come out now. And it's just kind of all coming together in terms of the writing and the A&R and all that stuff like that. So it's been cool. I've been fortunate.
Yay. Yes. Nice. I'm proud of my dude. I've been seeing it come up. But it's for me, it's like, again, it's just like, it's always been Al. Like since this nigga been 15, he been the one we've been. I'm seriously, we would like.
Yeah, we did.
We would always be the ones to be able to sneak into the back. We'd always get behind backstage. We met Puff before when Puff was still like on
when
tour.
When Puff with was Jodeci. Puff.
Yeah.
Yeah, when that nigga was still on tour with Jodeci before he was even like owning a label. Like we were still uptown.
Yeah, we saw him move his
like Andre Harrell era. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like Al just had this incredible talent for not taking no for an answer and just somehow just navigating through shit, man. And he recognized I had a lot of talent. And he'd be like, come here, you insecure, talented motherfucker. You're gonna go hang out. We're going to go hang out with these tastemakers. So it's no surprise to me. When he called me the other day, and he was like, yo, blah, 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 you know, huge deal, da, 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 all the stuff. And I was like,
He did. He was just like, yeah, I'm about to get back to watching The Mandalorian. Hey, let me know what you need me to send you some. I'm like,
already. You know what I'm saying? Send me the email. It's good. I get it. I love
you and appreciate you. And we've just, it's just been fun. It's been fun watching it go, but it's been a process. And I'm just trying to keep out there. I'm just trying to live these dreams as much as possible, man. That's it, man. Yeah, that
is all. And you're doing it, okay?
But the cool thing, though, is that I'm having an opportunity to do what people I love and care about. And Yaze is one of those people, as well as yourself, because now we're podcasting and we're doing big things. So it's just all one big circle, man. So I'm glad we are working together, though. Seriously. Yeah.
Yes. And Mr. Vincent, he's making music.
See, and just like him, you guys are seeing the stuff that he's doing right now. I've seen the evolution. Like when I met Yaze, he was somebody who basically was just concentrating on the vocals and the writing, as well as he would write stories, as well as he was an avid reader, as he still is today. But now, I slowly saw him playing with the guitar, playing with keyboards, you know, different things like that. Now this dude can basically play several instruments, can get behind the boards, can produce, and actually turn that into a career. Like he took all of the production and then turned it to where he was able to also be able to navigate the worlds of advertising and digital media and production. So it's like that dude took everything that we did when we were smaller and turned it into a career. And he gets paid to do that every day. And for that, we're truly successful.
Yes. Seriously. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I
all the way
that.
Out. I'm like, I swear, I'm like, what the hell? I sound like Pose. Yes, Queen, get it.
you know why I appreciate that so much? I'll be honest with you, because black people, we don't cut you no slack for shit. You know what I'm saying? If you say you can do something, you say you can do something, black people insist that you be able to do something. I'm just saying.
Oh, you can play that little guitar? Let me see you play that little guitar.
Right now, then. Right now.
Sing me something right now.
Oh, we will crush a dream. We will crush a dream in a heartbeat.
Well, we are dream killers for real. Absolutely.
Because black people don't have no time to be wasting on no bullshit dream, okay? You need to be good at that. Like, whatever it is, like, if you good at something, you got three, what? Jump shot? Big? That's football or boxing, or you can sing, or you can entertain, tap dance, sing, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And if you can't do one of them three things, nigga, you better go to college, or you better be smart, top of your class. That's it. That's the only options we got. We basically got four bros. So I realized early on that I was smart, but I wasn't smart enough to give a shit about, like, a PhD or cutting somebody over to becoming a doctor or something. That wasn't that smart. But Al taught me exactly the level of smart I was, which was, if I could make somebody feel good, then I could get what I wanted. And what I wanted, and that's all that mattered. So he found me in Denby High. He was singing in the bathrooms with some niggas. I don't even know who they were. I don't know who they are anymore.
I got you covered.
Yo, there was some dark Eric. That blackest
Eric, we had Mark.
We had that big guy, Lamont.
Mont. Yeah, you know I got you covered, bro.
Okay, fucking Mont. All right. Lamont thought he was such high shit because he had the keyboard, because he could make real music.
Wait a minute.
That's why I taught myself how to play guitar. I taught myself how to play keys because I got tired of, we would always be in the crib writing these bomb ass songs, figuring out harmonies, overdubbing on the cassette tapes, flipping them bitches over, trying to do the overdub harmonies. And we would always be sitting there like, man, if we could just make this music, we just got to find a producer. We got to find a studio. And that always frustrated me. So as an adult, I just taught myself how to do everything. So I would never have to ask anybody how to make a video or how to do this or how to do that or whatever. And it just so happened along the way, I got good at vocals a little bit. And I got some songs out right now on Spotify and iTunes. One of them I'm particularly proud of is called Clouds. You could find it under Yaze Vincent. Yes, NYAZE. I'm the only one. NYAZE. That's it. You ain't got to look up the Vincent part. I'm only in Yaze on Spotify. And you'll find both of my songs. The other one is called All Fucked Up, which is a bit about mental health and about, like, it's like when you mean to do the right thing, when you mean to do something, but your anxiety gets the best of you and you don't quite come through, and then you get harder on yourself and you get into the spiral of like I'm so fucked up, right?
Yeah.
It's just about releasing that. It's about just recognizing it and releasing it. And you know, I'm making music from the perspective of a grown ass man. But
three grown, so you know it's true. Grown,
right? But also happens to like trap music, and you know, I fuck with a bunch of 20 and 30 year old kids and we make music, so it's still contemporary and vibrant and all of that, but it's just got substance that I feel like our age group is going to be able to understand and glob onto. So yeah, man. And Yaze Vincent, check it out. Clouds, All Fucked Up. Thank you for bringing it up. I appreciate it.
This is exciting. Yeah. Y'all better get on that. And he really is the only one. I'm looking on Spotify right now. He really is the only Yaze on Spotify. No,
That helps, right? That helps brand recognition.
Like, so Yaze Little or Yaze Johnson or it's only one.
Little Yaze and then Yaze the baby is just.
Could you imagine if there was a man? You better stop talking it up because there might be one floating around Atlanta. But you know who would know? Al.
I went to the party. I did. I try to go out every now and then, but I don't get out much.
Yeah, right.
You know what? He say that. Right.
Check out the Instagram. Just look at the IG.
I will
be at Google this week, actually. I'll be at Google Friday.
Okay.
Oh. Out here. Yeah, I'll be at Google. And I'm going to have my Norfolk State hoodie on and everything as well. It's actually just a networking situation, but Kirby will be there and it's going to be fun. So there you go.
Nice.
Come on, networking situation.
The networking situation is for writer bloggers trying to network with other writer bloggers. I am trying to, you know, come up. I'm trying to do stuff.
Might as well.
Well, you're doing it. I can tell you that.
What you got to do? So, Miss Sunshine, what are we going to talk about on this wonderful night? Let's get it.
Let's go. Mm. So, let's start low key. Have y'all got Disney Plus yet?
Got it.
Y'all, you got babies. So, I know you got it, Nyanza.
They ain't even watched it yet, though.
What?
They haven't even bothered to click on the motherfucker. I downloaded, installed it, texted it. It was like, Disney Plus is on the joint now. Okay, Dad, I'll check it out later. They don't give a fuck. I'm watching The Mandalorian. I'm watching the Avengers. I'm watching all the old X-Men cartoons.
Oh, my
X-Men
God.
From the 90s.
Yes.
X-Men from the 90s.
The best damn cartoon, for real.
I am so lit right now. Disney was not for the kids. Disney Plus is for us.
It really is.
It's crazy because kids are so spoiled. There's so much content and stuff out there that it's just not even as
serious. They don't even care.
I have not gotten it. Yaze and I talked about it a little bit the other day. I have taken the time to go get it, but I do want to get it for The Mandalorian, so I will be grabbing it.
Mandalorian is dope. Mandalorian is super dope.
Don't tell me.
I need to watch it. I haven't started it yet because I've been in Goof Troop, Darkwing Duck, DuckTales.
Yeah.
All of that. I was like, shit. I'm like, I watched this in so long. I'm watching old shit. I'm like, excuse me, I'm going to watch the Goofy movie. Blackest Disney movie out there, okay?
It is the blackest.
The blackest one, okay?
Anybody who didn't realize that Goofy was the only nigga in Disney, okay? That's who Goofy is.
Woo!
Goofy is the brother of Disney.
Kevin Campbell his things.
It was all racial at Disney, just like everywhere else. And Warner Brothers, Bugs Bunny was Jewish. Mickey Mouse is a wasp, right? He's a white Anglo-Saxon man married to Minnie. You know what I'm saying? He's got the whole fucking perfect heterosis fantasy going on. He's got a dog that talks and can go get him his newspaper. Right? They were all fantasies acted out, but Goofy?
Mm-hmm.
That was our man.
Low key, he was a dude. Goofy, man. Yeah. I've been watching all those old shits, man. It's amazing. Like, it's because the thing is, now that my kids have 24-hour cartoons on tap all the time.
Oh, right.
I'm jealous, but I don't like their cartoons because they don't tickle me the same way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I was watching X-Men, Jubilee. I can't even explain. Look, I'm watching my kids like, can we stop watching X-Men now? They ready to turn cartoons off because I'm watching it anyway.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like, Storm is the right color. I don't know how to act, okay?
Yeah, yeah, the old school cartoons like, got it right. Definitely.
Powers of the Storm, I summon thee.
Didn't she sound like she was straight from Louisiana like she was supposed to be?
Yes. Yes. Y'all need to get y'all Disney Plus. I already got my bundle because I already had Hulu. I'm like, okay, all right, I got everything I need.
It's
like
free for a week. You might as well get it. It's free for a week.
I'm about to try it out. I'm 7 days free. I am going to get it, though. It's definitely happening.
And the bad part about it is, even with the 7 days, it's like, you're not going to watch everything. That's the problem. That's how they get you. You can't do everything in 7 days.
It's $7.
It really is.
It's not that serious. Yeah, I'm in it for the Star Wars. I'm in it for the Star Wars.
Yes, because all of it's on there. So it's like,
I'm there for all of it. The movie cannot get here fast enough. So ready.
So another movie that's going to be coming in 2020 is Sonic the Hedgehog. They have literally reanimated that thing to actually look like Sonic the Hedgehog. And if you've seen the trailer, you heard a very familiar song called Supersonic by J.J. Fad. I said, bitch. It's like,
J.J. Fad. Whoever brought that together, fantastic idea.
Absolutely.
And I am happy that they are going to be able to get back out there and continue to get those bags based upon a classic hit right there. I love it. I love it when hip hop is infused with the culture. I think that's just super dope.
Man, it took me back to box days. I'm like, I remember like getting that on the box. I'm like, that was my shit.
Yeah, I used to love me some damn JJ Fad. I mean, it was cool. Hit it, baby D. I mean, I hope they go through a whole thing where they can tour with it and really pump it up. And it's a pretty clean song, so it's just like, it should be fine, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't dirty. It was just a fun hip-hop song before we had the term hip-hop. But it was just like three women rapping. It was like, oh, this is cool. Because they came out around the time Salt and Pepper came out, so it was kind of like, they were fun and colorful, just like Salt and Pepper, but you just liked the song because it was very catchy. The S is for super, and the U is for unique.
I'm just saying.
That was...
Oh, I thought she was going to obey. Okay.
I thought she was about to go in, right? I was like, go ahead.
Wait.
For unique.
The E is for exotic, and the R is for reps. The teleported people just to stay the F back. Super solid.
Yo, what I love about this whole article is they're like 30 years later, they are still touring and eating off this record. One hit. Look at God greatness.
Yeah, right. I think you can eat off one song.
One song, and they at 30 years later, they fed their families. They look good. Wow, that's amazing.
Are just embracing it. I think sometimes when people hear their songs in movies, they're like, wait a minute, you didn't clear this with me. And they're like, y'all put our song in the movie?
Yeah, no, they like, hell yeah, give us
the check.
They about to get give that nice little check.
Because you know they had to pay them. It's like, we're going to have to pay for the song, and that's fine.
Yeah, I love it. I love it when old school artists or just artists have had hits in the past get an opportunity to get another chance to do it. You know, eventually we're going to see just everybody come back at different times. I like it. I love it. I think it's great.
Yep. I'm excited, too. Something that I wasn't expecting to be excited about. I'm not sure if I am excited about this. Eddie Murphy's coming back as Axel Foley for Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Yes. I'm totally here for that. We need Eddie Murphy back into this culture.
I like Eddie.
We need him. From a comedy standpoint, from what you're just doing movies and stuff, the culture needs Eddie Murphy. We need that. We need him back in here doing what he does.
I didn't like 3 that much. I remember going to movies to see 3. To see it, but I like Eddie.
Beverly Hills Cop 3.
I don't even know if I saw that.
Absolutely dreadful. It was the Die Hard
not good
series. It was terrible.
Who was in it? I can't even remember that one. There was a Beverly Hills Cop.
They were at an amusement park.
All right, never. I'm pretending.
And Wonderworld.
The rest of the audience did. Again, it's the Die Hard 2 of the whole 48-hour series. So hopefully they can redeem themselves.
I hope they can. Because, let's see. And it's also coming to Netflix. So...
This is good. Eddie Murphy and Dolomite was dope.
That was such a funny movie.
It was funny, but it was also, to me, emotionally moving. I cried at the scene when he was in the mirror. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. That dude is like one of the greatest actors when he wants to be. Eddie Murphy's always been always had a sensitivity to his comedy that I think has been overlooked. You know, he's never been just the, you know, the fuck shit guy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's always been able to. He was Kevin Hart way before Kevin Hart, but he was able to embody different perspectives and different characters and do accents. And I can't wait to see that dude come back. Yeah,
I agree. I'm
ready for the stand up. Honestly, I'm ready for mature Eddie Murphy, even though Delirious is still one of my favorite stand-ups ever. I'm still ready for mature Eddie.
I do. I want to see Eddie in terms of that. I want to hear about his growth. I want to hear about his struggles. I want to hear about his journey. I mean, we're talking about, what, 30-some-odd years or so since the last time he did something like that? That's a lot to have happened. There's been kids that have been born, gone to college, marriages that have been dissolved, deals that have happened, you know, success that has taken place. I want to know about that journey, and I want to know about it in its rawest form from the architect. So I can't wait to hear Eddie.
Same. So yeah, we're ready. Same. Netflix, thank you. They trying to compete with Disney Plus. So
hey,
they gonna get it.
They say don't leave us.
Please don't leave us. We can bring back.
We're all winning.
So Lizzo is being sued by the Postmates driver that she outed.
Yeah, she should.
On social media. And I'm sorry, when I heard this story, I'm like, she is going to get sued.
Goddamn right. As she should.
And the bad part about it is like, she did something that I've seen a lot of people do. But baby, they're not Lizzo.
Hey, you know what I'm saying?
It's like, I've seen a lot of people do this. Like, this is the person that stole my food. And it's like, I've seen that. I've seen it on Twitter from people who got like 30 followers. I'm like, baby, you can't do this with Lizzo.
And she knew people were going to see it. It's not like she didn't know she was Lizzo. You know what I'm saying? She was already well famous. It wasn't like early in the Lizzo train. Mm-hmm. It was at the height of the Lizzo train.
Right.
She gonna you know, throw this young black woman, I understand, under the bus. Yeah. Get your coin. Get your money. Get your bag. You're blessed.
You've been blessed. Have to give some money out. My baby, you have to give us some money.
Go ahead and get your bag because, that just didn't make any type of sense. It's just like, okay, so you notice she's going to come for that bag now. Stupid tax. That just don't make any type of sense.
Yeah, I love Lizzo. And that being said, I still love Lizzo.
Love her to death.
I
do
too.
Keep on making records, but you're going to have to pay that tax. Yeah. Welcome to celebrity. Welcome to fame.
The whole Lizzo thing is very interesting to me that a lot of people don't like her. Don't like Lizzo or her music, or say that Lizzo is for white gays. And I'm like, that is odd to me. Yeah. It's very interesting because when this whole thing came out, a lot of people were more upset. And I had always thought, I'm like, you know, if Tiffany was a white woman, I don't think y'all would have been all that upset. But because she was a black Postmates driver, I feel like that kind of drove the conversation a little bit differently.
Right.
But also, there are people who really don't like Lizzo, and I'm like,
What kind of people are saying that she's for white gays?
So these are other black people.
Like black women and black men?
Both? Black women, black men, a little bit. They're, but also, from the black men's side, it's more like, she a big, fat black woman. Why y'all like her so much? She ain't cute. She ain't pretty. I'm like,
that does sound like us. That does sound like us.
I disagree with all of that.
I disagree with it, but that does sound like our gender as a whole. Right. I gotta say, man, that's just stupid hate. That doesn't even make any sense. Clearly, Lizzo represents a hugely underrepresented segment of just regular sized women. Like the only place that Lizzo ain't regular size is L.A. is where I live. That's it. It's the only place. Everywhere else, people look just like Lizzo, you know. And even here, we got big fat people. So I it's not even it's not even real. You know what I mean?
Oh, and, you know, God. Just everywhere, everybody.
Be everywhere.
And actually, fat black women who can sing their ass off used to be just the norm. Yeah. That used to be every famous black woman.
Yeah,
it's only recently that we got these high yellow skinny women. You know what I'm saying? That's a 70s invention. That's a sparkle.
I was gonna say it's enough, but
sparkle. Sparkle is what started that shit.
Manny Rippleton was kind of in that prototype.
I just rewatched Sparkle and Sister.
Irene Cara
is tall and as high yellow as she can be. Yeah. And I think ever since then, they've been trying to spin that archetype. But before her, it was all fat black. Somebody
grab the door for me, please.
The kids are home.
My babies are here.
Lizzo.
Even though these are all adult ass people.
Lizzo, I love you.
Yeah, Lizzo is, I love her to death. But when you try to play mean girl, sometimes, you know, you're going to give that back up.
Right. And it's something so innocuous. I'm like, this is like a, this is the famous tax that you're going to have to, you can't do the things you usually do.
Right.
People with 40 followers can do what you did because nothing's going to happen.
Right.
But I would, when the girl said that, you know, she defamed me and I was scared to leave the house, a lot of people, you know, some people who thought she was being overly dramatic. I'm like, people get doxxed.
That's real.
People get doxxed. And I, you know, there are some people who really like Lizzo. It's like, kill that bitch. It's like, wait.
Wow, it's not
she
that
didn't
serious.
Do anything wrong. And it's like, baby, you can't tweet everything you think. Sometimes put it in the group chat and leave it in the group chat. Don't put it on the internet. Because that's the wrong place to put it. Because, yeah, no. Lil Nas X won the 2019 CMA Award for Musical Event of the Year.
Won't he do it?
I agree. Totally agree. So I can't even disagree with this. This is absolutely true. Nobody created a moment like Lil Nas X.
And they didn't want
him to be country. Like, no, this isn't country. I'm like, it sounds country to me, but there are some country songs that sound pop to me. So I don't, your whole girl Taylor Swift left y'all and went to pop music. Okay.
Yeah, she packed up
her little suitcase and went, I'm going to pop. Bye.
And quiet is kept. A lot of this blending is just already. The boat has sailed.
Yeah.
Post Malone is already as country as he is hip hop.
Yep.
Beyonce should have won a CMA award. For Daddy, for that Daddy song.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Black people love, where I'm from, black people love country music. It's a fact. It's a fact. It's just a fact. I'm from the South. Of course, the thugs would be like, no, I don't like that shit. But your grandmama and all the country people, they listen to it and they love it. It's fine. They like all them songs.
They grew up on it, just like all the rest of them.
You know how to line dance. I learned how to line dance and how to square dance like everybody else in Newport News. Anyway, my point just being is that all this shit is black music originally.
Yep.
All of country music is black. Country music is the blackest that white people are allowed to sound. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They talk about being alcoholics. They talk about
cheat, infidelity, violence.
That's the nigga version. That's their nigga music. That's their nigga. I love to see it.
Oh, yeah, man. That dude is the Charlie Pride and beyond of his time. Let's get it. I got number love.
I love Lil Nas X's energy. Yes. Love is I just like him. Yes. I know he used to be a Nicki stan. I feel like he's been delivered because he's not anymore, apparently. He probably still is a Nicki fan, but he's just not doing what a lot of them do.
I don't think he is her.
Yeah, I think he not. So, yeah, there's that. So, shout out to Lil Nas X, and I love the fact that he won that award, much to the chagrin of many country music fans who let their racism show.
Yes, they did.
Amen.
So let's slide right on into mid-key and talk about Al's boy. Kanye West was at Joel Osteen's church.
Are you kidding me? I love me some Kanye West.
That's your boy. Just so
I am definitely on
that. I pray for him. I keep him in my prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yes, I do want the true black Jesus to save him and to come unto him like a dark, like a thief in the night. And I think maybe if Kanye got robbed of all of these riches, if maybe a biblical style reckoning were to occur in which he had to face like the taking everything away, maybe we would get a semblance of the old Kanye. But it seems like he's just basically intent on doing, an impersonation of a.
He gone.
He's out of here.
And it's so sad. And I think I get why people are so upset. Because you listen to old Kanye music, you see old interviews, you see old videos of him. This is the same dude who wrote Jesus Walks years ago, but now it's like, I found religion. I'm like, so what were you doing in Jesus Walks? I'm confused, because I could have swore, because remember when MTV had Diary, that he talked about going to church with his mama when he was a kid, so now I'm very confused.
That part.
I'm like, I'm sorry, what just happened?
A gimmick happened. I'm over it.
But you know the thing is, I'm reading the article you actually sent us. Mm-hmm. And okay, if I can just quote for a second. So he's in front of Joel Olsen. He says, I know that God's been calling me for a long time and the devil's been distracting me for a long time. When I was at my lowest points, God was there with me, sending me visions and inspiring me. And I remember sitting in a hospital at UCLA after having a mental breakdown. And there's a documentation of me drawing a church and writing, start a church in the middle of Calabasas. Okay. As crazy as that sounds to me right now, just saying it out loud, if I'm honest with myself, that's how church people sound.
Yeah.
That church people are crazy.
Out of their damn minds.
Yeah, this is why this shit is so brilliant on Kanye's part, why it's such a brilliant marketing move and so cynical, because he knows he can't sustain real... He ain't got that sauce in the music community no more. He can't
really, not in secular music.
No. Not in secular music, right? So now he can transition into this sort of one size fits all generic evangelical kind of thing and sell Adidas and nobody will be mad kind of thing. I'm like, it's kind of brilliant, but what frustrates me is that as a former actual church kid, I'm always offended by inauthenticity.
There you
Correct.
Go.
Correct.
That's all it is. It's just everybody can see how fake it is. It's so, you know, because at every opportunity, a true man of God would take every opportunity to lower themselves and to elevate God.
Correct.
To
and
say
he's not.
He is not. Every opportunity in this exchange, he goes, I'm the greatest. Now God has the greatest artist that ever existed, exalting him.
Yeah.
What? No, that's the opposite of gospel. That's some satanic shit.
He basically announced a conglomerate situation with God throughout this whole thing. They got together. They formed a company. God is the executive producer. He's on there as the artist. This is a joint album, Jesus and Yeezus. And we should enjoy everything that's brought to the table.
No, if you don't enjoy it, then you're going to hell.
You are. You're exactly.
And that's what I have a big problem with. And the thing about it is, like, I know friends of mine who make gospel music. I've been a fan of gospel music for years. There are gospel trap artists. There are gospel rappers. There are actual gospel musicians who are not inauthentic. So for people to just go, oh, this is revolutionary, I'm like, Kirk Franklin would like a word. Y'all have been dogging him for at least 15 years and say he steps a little too much into the secular world for y'all to just... embrace Kanye the way that he's being embraced. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, for real.
Kirk would like a word. It's like, y'all literally told Kirk Franklin he can't be too secular. And now you're accepting this secular artist who would not spit on you if you were on fire. Get the fuck out of my full face.
Man, I hate to see it.
No,
bro.
It's like, come on.
I just hate to see it because he had a very interesting intellect at the beginning of his career, and he seemed to challenge so many paradoxes. And to see him just sort of become kind of this washed, predictable version of himself is just disappointing, man. You know?
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, it's not lost in me that he went to Joel's church. That's not lost in me, because it's funny he didn't go to T.D. Jakes' church.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
T.D. was like, no.
Because T.D. would have been like, I'm not interviewing you on the pulpit. Instead, mm-hmm. we're going to lay hands on you and pray these demons out. What did you say about Trump?
He ain't going to Jamal's church. He ain't going to T.D. Jakes' church.
Wait for T.D. Jakes to get involved in anything.
Listen.
Did you wait on that?
He's like, no.
Yeah, you ain't gonna shorten
up. I don't know what TD believes personally, but he's his daughter and son-in-law have a church out here in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And they're liberal as fuck. It's like one of those come as you are, you could be gay, you could be
non-denominational.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. But it's definitely Baptist kind of Baptist style service. But okay. It's just anyway, yeah. But so I don't know. He's doing that with the full blessing of T.D. Jakes, and they invoke his name all the time during the service. So I just feel like even if he ain't out there on the front line necessarily of saying
maybe
shit,
he got some soldiers.
Yeah, he out there. Yeah, he's out there. You know, putting his money where his mouth. Well, he's putting his money where it should be. I think.
Y'all pray for Kanye. I'm not a psychologist, but I know a manic episode when I see one. And that was a 20-minute manic episode. Talking about, I need complete silence. See, you can't do that in a black church. You can do it in a Joel's church. Who's just going to stand there looking stupid?
Yeah. Sitting there looking at that fool in awe.
To be fair, though, to be quiet. Unless the pastor is a bona fide saint, most churches are run by a narcissist. And that is the whole premise. Is that there can only be one narcissist in the congregation.
Right.
because that is why I'm a Muslim and not a Christian anymore. Is because in the Christian church, too often as a black man, you got to go in there and you got to shut the fuck up and listen to another black man tell you why everything you're doing is fucked up while he fucking half the people in the congregation.
Church.
The Catholic, you know what I'm saying? You like, nigga! Meanwhile, at the masjid, everybody is boxing, you know what I'm saying, married, raising their kids, and putting in ties, and you only got to listen to a motherfucker speak for 20 minutes top, and then it got to be mostly quotations. So I'm just saying, pick your religion wisely. Every religion, you know what I'm saying? Pick your religion wisely is all I'm saying, man. If it ain't working for you, there's something else out there. God has a path for you elsewhere. And I wish Kanye would find his, because truthfully, Kanye should be in like yoga or in like some Eastern mystical religion where like ain't no real morality. Huh?
I could see him as a Buddhist.
You see what I'm saying? Like something where it ain't no real right and wrong. It's just all about like.
Nah, I think you just need to go straight cult with Kanye. You don't need to put him in anything that's been established or has scripture. Just go straight independent offshoot cult. I think
it's so don't be surprised if in like, I don't know, 3 years, he's a Scientologist.
I see. Okay, I can see that. I can see that.
So he still lives in Calabasas. So
yes, that's right.
Apparently not that far.
Scientology in 2024. He's running for president as a Scientologist in 2024.
And the election's going to be interesting as hell. He will lose, but it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, like the train wreck that everybody wants to see.
I would tune in for that.
So I'm split on this. John Legend was voted sexiest man alive. And I'm very confused because Jason Momoa is still with us.
Yeah, I got nothing on this one.
Yeah. I'm gonna try to go there with you, Steph, because I'm in touch with my gay side, so I'm gonna try to go there with you.
I got nothing on this. The lead all the way.
I personally don't find John Legend to be that attractive. I like dudes with a hairline. If I'm speaking as a gay man, you know what I'm saying?
Get your friend, Al.
For any listeners who are unclear, I am not actually a gay man, but for the purposes of this conversation,
not that there's anything wrong with that, but that is not what he is.
But I'm just saying, for the purposes of this conversation, I'm just going to be a gay man so that I can have this conversation. But John Legend is not that sexy a guy, physically speaking. And that's bizarre that they would vote him. It's clearly they're saying like his politics and his like artistic tastes are sexy, right?
Dude, I guess. And it's like I'm not that vexed by it, but okay. I understand the folks that are vexed. It's like I don't I'm not vexed, but I understand why y'all all vexed, because there are a lot of good-looking men out there, and I'm like, is Idris Elba dead? I'm like, he's not. Yeah, exactly. But I feel exactly. like he was already voted sexiest man alive, so I'm like, okay, I guess we can't do two years in a row.
I'm 100% with you. I would actually say the sexiest man alive right now is Lakeith Stanfield. That's my personal opinion.
He is so...
Did you say Lakeith Stanfield?
Yes, he is. Oh... Yeah. I don't know what it is about him and Kaluuya. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if it's that stare or his skin. I'm just like, I would lick his face.
I'm with you.
One trailer with Keith and he is so fine.
In fact, you know what I'm saying? I like slim. As a heterosexual man, I like slim, and then as a homosexual man, I like slim. So, yeah, that's,
consistent.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
He
also has this kind of James Dean kind of thing where it feels like he's sort of against everything. No matter what the fuck you into, he kind of, like, he ain't with that shit. That's the Prince shit. That's some Prince shit right there.
Prince,
right.
I'm sorry. Standoffish
type genius. All right,
me. Gotcha. Prince wore eyeliner, heels. Yes. Everything, and I still would sit on that man's face. It's like it didn't even matter. It's like I don't care.
Even you can admit that you would let Prince get some, right? Even you can admit that, right?
I think it's really good. Oh my god!
Why are you trying to pull him in? Al was like, "Look, I have checked out."
I love the conversation with him about life, and but I don't want to get with him.
Al, oh my god, we're not gonna do this anymore. But I don't think. Sometimes it's not the same as Blake Shelton, because I remember that year that Blake Shelton was voted and everybody's like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? I guess it's now the black women's turn of what the fuck are y'all talking about with John Legend. I'm like, I guess. Blake Shelton was voted sexiest man alive, white women lost their minds, like, what the fuck? Because, like, all these men out here, you picked Blake Shelton, and now I guess it's our turn now. Like, all these men out here, you pick.
Like, has it been, you know, widely accepted or debated?
It's
I don't know.
Everybody keeps pulling out the Arthur memes, so.
Oh, that's funny. You know, John Legend does look like Arthur. Yeah, that's
so. It's kind of like. I don't think he's an ugly man, because I don't think he is.
He's not an ugly man, but he's just not. He's never presented as sexy. It's just like he's earnest. I feel like he's dependable. He's all the things that you're supposed to want in a man, but women don't actually want in a man. You know, like, women actually want a dirty nigga that's gonna, like, cheat on them and, like, make them feel like shit. And then, you know what I'm saying?
This is what Nyasha wants in a man. I don't want that. I don't want one. I don't want no dirty man. I don't want nobody cheat on me. This is what Nyasha wants. Nyasha wants this.
All the women that I know have gone through a phase at least once. No woman I know has ever reported to me, first dude I fell in love with was a great dude, treated me just fine, never did anything wrong to me. So I'm just saying, the first one is always a fuck nigga. I don't know why it's always a fuck nigga, but it's always a fuck nigga. It's never the dude that's like, hey, dependable, going to church. I know, because I was that dude.
Yes, he was. He was.
I was a dependable dude. And you know
what? You had your fuck boyfriend.
She chose a drug dealer. She wanted a drug dealer. That's what she wanted. Okay? So, it's Revenge of the Nerds, motherfucker. John Legend is a nerd, and he got sexiest man alive. I understand what happened. I get it. I'm here for it.
Oh, my God.
Y'all can't see me right now, but I have glasses on. So you see,
that means serious.
Nerds unite! Nerds unite!
Goddamn right. Goddamn
right. You convinced me.
He is the sexiest man alive. I'm gonna put my foot down.
Excuse me, he is slim, so he fits into your archetype. So I feel like, you know, that's fine. You know,
I'm supporting him now. I've changed my vote.
So I'm looking at my notes.
I just wish him well on the next album.
And also, I'm officially not gay anymore. So
there you go.
That's fine.
Please do not get in my Please don't get in my DMs. Okay.
Thank Welcome back.
I don't know. Unless you just want some tunes. Unless you want to hear songs. You want to talk about the songs, then you can DM them. But don't DM them like, hey, so I hear you like them slim.
We're available for all of that.
That's right. Just not for butt stuff. That's all.
I'm not going anywhere near none of that.
I'm not. It's not for butt stuff. You know what? Nope.
I mean, if you want a hug or a kiss, man, we can negotiate that. But no butt stuff, okay?
I'll like your picture. Put a comment down there and share.
I'm just saying, I'm not a Summer Walker, man. Like, I will meet my fans. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
If they happen to be gays like the Liz, if they have to be Lizzo fans, then I'm willing to meet them, okay? I'm fine with that. I will happily welcome all the Lizzo fans.
Oh, my God.
Cuff your bitch. That's a good one, man. You gotta get your Summer Walk on. You gotta get
oh my God.
On.
You know what? Speaking of that, let's just kick it into High Key. I look at some of my notes and I looked at the titles and got triggered. But High Key, Summer Walker cancels her tour.
She needs a man that can handle her.
And she is canceling it for social anxiety.
That's yeah. Weird. She came out in kind of an interesting way. I guess she just she's currently on tour right now, and she had some meet and greets set up, and she went on a little bit of a rant, and you know said that you know she's got anxiety, and that she can't be doing all this, you know, all upon people and talking to people and being all out there just based upon you know her condition and such, and which was perfectly fine, but she just got kind of you know, not very fan friendly about it, you know, just basically, you know, just kind of lashed out at the whole situation. So that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, though her reasonings behind it, everybody understood. And if she had presented it the right way, she could have really made herself an advocate and boosted her situation even more. But apparently she did not read the contract where it says as an entertainer at some point in time, you're going to have to interact with the fans regardless of your, you know, situation. So,
yeah.
The problem is that contract doesn't exist anymore. They don't tell you any of that shit. And also, no. the problem is that the music industry has dispensed with the A&R portion of
yes,
the music business.
Yes, Lord, they have.
There used to be a time, the internet is a blessing and a curse for artists because it's a blessing in that you can reach millions of people instantly with your music. And if it is good, it could catch, right?
Yeah.
The bad side is that it could catch before you know how to fucking support it.
Right.
And Summer Walker is clearly an artist who that given enough grooming, enough small shows, like for instance, when Destiny's Child came out, Beyonce and them, they had been performing for years as kids before they even had a video or any of that stuff and before they were in front of people to actually have a shot. And by the time they had that, they were prepared mentally.
Yeah, they had been doing it. They had a routine. Yeah, they were
right. Summer Walker has clearly not been groomed. She was her and London on the track were fucking. You know what I'm saying? And you know she could sing. He could make beats. He made her beats. The songs was dope. They put him out. They was hot. And then the money people came and was like, we can make more money if we go out on tour. And she said, okay. We can make more money if you meet and greet all these motherfuckers. Okay. Yep. And then she started to actually do that shit. And she was like, oh, my God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to maintain emotional distance. Right. I don't know how to set proper boundaries. I don't know what I'm supposed to say to these motherfuckers. What is the lip sync shit I can say to get these motherfuckers moving? They want to tell me their deepest problems. They're bleeding their whole lives onto me. I'm crying. They crying. I can't do this shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because no one taught her how. So yeah, go the fuck home. Go home. Make a couple more EPs. Do some local shows in front of 300, 400 people. You know what I'm saying? Get your legs. Get. Learn how to do what the fuck you do, man. I'm not mad at Summer Walker. I'm mad at an industry now which basically plucks kids from obscurity and puts them in the limelight, milks them, wrings every last bit of value they can get out of them, and then says, fuck you if you don't know how to deal with it. And yes, I'm talking about Old Town Road and Lil Nas X, because you ain't heard shit from that dude since then, have you? Panini notwithstanding.
So here's the thing. I wasn't too familiar with Summer Walker's music. Then her album came out and it was looked like the most streamed. I'm like, ooh, like who is this child? Then yeah, all of a sudden,
I through it.
You know, it's kind of like you're watching somebody. Like I watched the Soul Train Awards and I watched her get her award. And I looked at, this girl is uncomfortable. And then she's standing on the red carpet and posing. She looks uncomfortable. And I'm sitting here like, yeah, she don't need to be here. This is not for her. And I think it's interesting. People are like, well, that's what she signed up for. I'm like, I don't think that's how mental health works. That's not how social anxiety works. There are a lot of people who are very, very talented who have social anxiety and they've learned to manage it. But it's like a muscle that you have to work. And she doesn't have the patience to work that muscle. She just needs to, one, find a way to balance it. She don't have this yet. I think for me, when she was talking about, like, so someone pointed out, I'm like, I've been wanting to meet her, and she didn't even hug me. I'm like, she ain't got to fucking hug you. I'm like, let's just talk about that. She don't have to hug you.
It could be just that. It could be a hello. It could be a quick picture. Yeah, it's that. But here's to play off of both y'all things, too. I agree with every aspect of that. The part that I think that I look at is a lost opportunity, and it's hard for me because I kind of have been behind different projects and seen different things, and I see the hard work. I'm sure she had to work her ass off to some degree to get to the level. And believe me, she did some hardcore streaming numbers, so she was off to a great start. Yeah. I just wish that her team had recognized what it was and they could have put together a better message and crafted a better message for her. Because again, I feel like you could have not only helped other people who are in similar situations like yourself, especially in this day and time with mental health as being something we're really trying to focus in on. With your platform, you could really impact, you know, millions of people. But secondly, you could have gotten, you know, some help at the same time. So I just wish that her team, you know, had recognized it, had crafted a better message. She'll be okay. We'll all live. I think she's going to garner more sympathy than hatred. But I just that's the only part about it that kind of made me cringe a bit, because I was just like, I understand where you're coming from, but damn, I just wish you could have said it a little bit different. But that's not your fault. I get it, you know.
Right. Because I'm someone who is an empath. So her first thing was when she said, I'm an empath, I can't take that. And I'm like, so that's not entirely true. But I got what she was saying, because it's a lot of energy.
Yeah,
it's
that is.
In fact, you feel everything, but it's not so overwhelming that you can't, because I don't know, maybe I'm just a touchy-feely empath.
But also the volume. Just be me. But also the volume too. Think about the volume though. You know, I'm like with you. Like I'm an empath, and I get a rush out of it sometimes.
Yeah.
But
after, there are times when you're just like, oh.
It's draining. Yeah. It's draining.
Yeah,
my introvert shit kicks in, and it's like I need to recoup some kind of way, you know. And I don't. She has that, you know. She may not have that.
Yeah, because it can manifest different ways. So I'm like, I'm gonna give her, because I felt like when she just said I'm an empath, I'm like, you can be an empath and have social anxiety. You can have both, because I saw both.
Yes.
So for her to say I'm an empath, I can't do this, I'm like, no, you are an empath that has social anxiety. You have both of them. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot, and that's overwhelming when you have anxiety, but you feel everything, and then you're in a business where they tell you you have to be visible. Everybody has to be able to get to you. Yes. This is not the 1990s where it's easy for people not to get to you. Right. Now it's like people can get to you very, very quickly, and that's overwhelming. And she's only 23. Yeah, I'm 38, so I can go like, oh.
23 years. She's a baby.
She's
from
a baby.
Yeah,
and it's like,
baby.
I'm like, if I do the math, I could be your mama.
That's all.
You know, all. It's kind of like, you're like, I'm doing math. I'm like, hi, baby boy. So it's like, she's a baby. I'm like, leave her the hell alone. Everybody's like, that. It's like, and then people are looking at her. Here's the other part. People are looking at her social media because, you know, she does the stories. She shows the body. But not like naked, just like her, like one, probably helping her self-esteem, because she may also be dealing with low self-esteem, because that's a part of it too.
Right.
And people are like, she don't look all that shy. She don't look like she have anxiety. I'm sorry, but nigga, fuck you. You don't know what that feels like. So she shouldn't take a picture of herself because she has anxiety? Are y'all okay?
Yeah, I agree. No, I mean, she's young, man. People just, like I said, that's the part about it. It's just like, get a good team, just going to be able to take care of you, take a moment, be able to craft the right message, be able to put yourself in the right situation where you can live your dream and still be able to kind of maintain a healthy mental balance.
Right. So somebody else who's getting a healthy mental balance is Deja Harris, daughter of T.I. Harris, who has deactivated her social media accounts following her father being a whole head ass.
Oh, T.I., a.k.a. OBGYN.
It's like, man, if he could, you know what? He can go to hell expeditiously.
Indeed. The situation was super creepy, man.
Not only are you violating her privacy, but you're also opening her up to creepy ass dudes who like virgins, who goes after virgins for sport.
Yeah.
And then you're opening her up into a social media. I'm like, we didn't have social media when I was 18. So now you have people who sit behind keyboards who are like, well, you can't find me. You can't beat my ass, so I can say what the fuck I want to you.
True.
Right.
Imagine having to deal with that when you're 18. It's like, okay, so I don't need any of this. My friends can find me. They have my phone number. I'm getting the fuck off of this boat.
But
you have to do this after your dad has been T.I. for God knows how long. And now you have to do this. You have to go, so I'm out. I'm going to head out. I'm going to go. Have fun, Dad. I can't
blame her. Imagine the DMs and comments that she having to deal with it. Like I said, now, and me and Yaze talked about this when We Come From Bad News as well. Obviously, this also could be a big old publicity stunt between daughter and father in order to get everybody over to his Expeditiously podcast You know, with that, they could have been, you know, cooked this up and she could be playing along, whatever. Word on the street I'm hearing is that it's very real. But you know.
I mean, I'm not 100% cynical. It could be both. It could be both a ploy for publicity and also based on a real fissure in the relationship. She is, in fact, 18. So if she ain't fucking already, she will be expeditiously. And
that's so crazy.
And she is going to have her own career to think about and her own livelihood.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mind is open enough that she might decide to go to college and become a doctor or a lawyer or an executive assistant or have some regular ass job, work at Facebook, Google, I don't know, any old regular job, right? Or what she'll probably do is go into reality TV like every other celebrity's child. So why wouldn't this be a perfect entree into her reality show, 18 and Virgin? I'm just saying. Anyway.
Yeah, it's possible. It's all possible.
Yeah,
it's totally possible.
I'm saying in the world that we live in where everything is televised and everything is for our consumption, I'm just saying, I think it might be way more boring in reality, in that the version we're getting is the most lascivious and titillating version that we can get. Like, what is she's unfollowing people, or she's liking posts that are at her dad, and you know that indicates some. Did she move out? Did she stop taking his money?
She did not.
What has changed? I mean, you know what I'm saying? My kids don't like my posts on Instagram. So what? I don't know. I see the show and I see, you know, reality.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, it's like, I don't even want to wrap my brain around what I would think of my own father. Because one, he's still our father. Never going to change. No matter how many embarrassing things he does, because I don't think, and the bad part about it is T.I.'s too old to be doing this, to actually not realize the damage you really are doing. Because
that's what I'm saying.
So it was like, I'm sorry. It's like, do you realize what, and you said it And I guess he probably thought he was saying it in a safe space because you're saying it with two women.
Right.
Right.
Like, this isn't you going on Joe Biden's podcast talking about this. You were talking about this with two women because you probably thought it was a safer space.
Right.
And that's not
who, how in that works. Moment. And who in that moment, let's concede, laughed. Later on, they said that they were uncomfortable and that's why they laughed and they really weren't with the shits. But if you go back and listen to the tape, it sounded like they was kikiing like a motherfucker, I'll be honest with you.
And also, liking comments and, you know, posting to their IG story of people who liked the conversation.
Yeah.
So I mean, got way too many ears for them to go, oh shit, this is probably a mistake and we should really fix this. I'm like,
yes. Go back
real fast.
I'm just saying, I see a lot of adjustments in real time happening with this story. But to address the actual substance of it, which is worthy. Checking your, if T.I. was consistent, if his boys had to be equally virginal.
Right.
Girls,
he's not.
Then I would say no harm, no foul. That's the way that man runs his house. You can't judge him. He is you can't handle pussy. You can't handle dick. Okay. But the problem really is that he doesn't seem to give a fuck if his 15-year-old kid is having all the sex and his daughter, who's 18 and actually legally of judgment, has to be a virgin. That's
a big problem.
That's barbaric.
That's weird.
That's a big problem.
You know, and when I say it's weird in the same way that, like, guys who hate homosexuals, I really think, want dick.
Yep.
And
that's just the only way they can deal with it.
It's the only way they can deal with it. In the same way that I think T.I. really doesn't want anyone to have his daughter, it's some incestual shit. It's some incestuous shit. It's nasty.
Well, I mean, even on his own podcast, he told his own wife her little sex box is half his. And they said, what's yours is mine. What's mine is yours. But you're not saying half of my dick is yours. You didn't say that.
That's disgusting.
It was like,
no, the girl down the street is saying that.
You're right. Right. I'm sharing with you, Tiny.
Yes. Like, we've all known for years that T.I. is community dick. We have all been aware of this.
So
in future, running races.
Yeah. It seems like he's on brand for Hotepery. He's on brand for Ashy. So
that being said, T.I., you're welcome on the podcast.
Absolutely.
You want to come explain yourself? You want to clarify if anything I'm getting wrong, any nuance that I'm missing? I'm open to hearing and understanding where you come from.
Well, I will be watching.
Smoke a minute. It's either one of those.
Well, I want to see what's going to happen on the Red Table Talk because he will be on there Monday before Thanksgiving. So
yes,
I can't wait to see what's going to happen.
Turn into that expeditiously.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
And also, I love how low key. The Red Table Talk is becoming the place.
The place to go.
When you say some fuck shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Explain that shit.
This shit has definitely turned into a confessional.
I'm going to confess at the Red Table. That's exactly
right. Before it seemed like they were going to Jada.
You got to go to Father Jada and go and confess your sins.
Gam is going to get you together.
That's a fact. And you know, look, I like you said Father Jada because you know she got a strap on that you got to look at. You know what I'm saying? Father Jada, look, the things that Father Jada and Sister Will be getting into, you don't even want to know.
Okay.
You don't even want
to know. No, goodbye.
I heard David's proof.
You don't even want to know. And I'm not even mad at you. I'm not even mad at him. Anyway,
good night.
Shout out to Jada. They're icons.
That's right. Look, when you want to have us on the Red Table Talk, we are ready to go.
Absolutely. Once again, we come for bad news or a Mocha Minutes podcast.
Y'all are a mess.
Oh, my goodness.
Monique is suing Netflix.
Get your bag, girl.
Get your money, girl.
I mean, you ain't gonna get your bag.
You ain't never going to do business with them or any other platform.
That's right.
Go ahead and get your bag.
That's right. I agree with that.
You've cut off all business relations. As a matter of fact, it's a wrap. You're going to be doing comedy shows for the most part. And of course, Tyler Perry got you. But outside of that, yes.
That's right. I see you skipped the Colin Kaepernick, but basically they ain't the same boat.
I'm saving him for last. That's why.
Because neither one of them want to work. They just want to be martyrs.
Yeah, you know what? That is an excellent segue. We can get into, whenever you want to do that. Yeah, so, I like that.
You know the guys want to get into Colin. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
I've had some change of, I've heard some things since the Saturday. I live here in Atlanta.
Tell me the local dish. I don't know the local dish. I'm sorry, Steph. We done suddenly got in the sports talk. I apologize.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm just letting y'all know, this is my initial thought about Monique. Please, when I first heard it, I was like, girl, no. And then I read the article, and I was like, I'm sorry, but homegirl got a point. Y'all may not like the messenger, but the message never changed. Y'all did lowball her. Y'all allowed Amy Schumer to renegotiate her amount, and y'all just gave it to her. When it came to Monique, y'all didn't want to renegotiate, and you lowballed her. Y'all got money coming out y'all ass. Y'all could at least gave her at least $2 million.
Yep. And could have done it with no problem. And could have done it like it was nothing.
Exactly. $2 million is nothing to y'all.
But you know what? That's true. But if Monique spelled her name correctly...
Okay.
People would take her more seriously.
All right. Leave her and her apostrophe alone. Look. We know
she's
like right. Several ways.
She's 100% right. But Monique is, you know, she's the blackest female comedian. She's the blackest, she's as black as a mainstream comedian is allowed to be. Normally, the system catches them. Like, Tiffany Haddish is the blackest female comedian that you're allowed to be, and even her shows on TV be tanking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even when they try to make her a pop star, people like white America be like, kind of like you, but you a little too ghetto for me. You know what I'm saying? So Monique is all the way ghetto, like 100%, 1,000 dyed-in-the-wool ghetto, and I love her for that.
100 proof.
But Netflix don't pay for ghetto. It pays for marquee, and it is fucked up, and it is discrimination, but I think financial discrimination is okay. I think as an investor, if I'm putting my money into something that I think is going to make me money, then I'm willing to put more of it into the deal that I think is going to make more money. If I don't think it's going to make more money, then I'm not going to put more money into it. Especially not on some goddamn principle. Now, the principle part is for us as black people to get behind. And as a principle, I do want Monique to sue these motherfuckers. And I want to hear the arguments and all of that shit. Mm-hmm. And drag it out as long as you can. Amen. But again, like we just said, it's not because you want to work. It's because you want to be a martyr.
Yep.
And I'm here to witness your martyrdom. But you're not gonna get a goddamn Netflix special out of this.
It's a wrap.
You know what I mean? At this point, she
this
may
is not a good
one.
Negotiation.
It's about the principle. It's like this is about the principle of the thing.
This is about rights.
You know what? I have no problem with that. If this is what she feels needs to be done, that's it. But just know that it's gonna be a wrap. So you're gonna
she
be doing
Amazon Prime. Things. It's fine. She can go somewhere else.
And Tyler Perry got her covered.
I mean, come to BET Plus. Exactly. Please come to BET Plus. And now we can talk about Colin Kaepernick. So for everybody, y'all can't see Nyaze dancing about this. So for everybody who heard, and I'm so glad that we are taping a little bit later than everything has happened.
Yeah.
Last Tuesday we found out, and last Tuesday was after week 10 of the NFL season. Where all of a sudden they're saying Colin Kaepernick is going to get a workout. And I'm like, isn't this a little late in the season to be doing a workout?
I'm
confused. And then it said it was going to be on a Saturday. And that added confusion because I'm like, why wouldn't it? Aren't most teams traveling to a game, getting ready for a game?
Yeah,
happens on Sundays and Mondays.
Most of the scout talent, in terms of the scouts within the NFL organizations, are usually on Saturdays scouting at colleges. So they're not going to leave all of these potential Heisman Trophy winners and all these people that are playing these high-powered Division I colleges to go see a workout. I'm sorry, carry on.
Yeah, true. Because, I mean, it is November. And a lot of folks that, if anybody's paying attention, when the college students declare for the draft, it's usually in January.
Yep.
They're usually declaring by then, by like mid-January, end of January, they're like, hey, I've decided to forego my senior year at Syracuse, and I'm going to enter the draft. And then February and March, they're getting ready to do the combine, and then, you know, the draft happens. So that's what the scouts are looking at. They're looking at different colleges around this time. So it's like, I'm very confused. So then the stories on both sides started coming out. He only had 2 hours to decide. It had to be the Saturday. He couldn't even push it back to next Saturday, the Saturday before Thanksgiving. They wouldn't let him do it on Tuesday. And then there was the issue of the waiver. So Saturday happens. It's supposed to be at the Falcons facility.
Flower and Branch.
And it's supposed to be
20 minutes from my house.
Right. It's supposed to be at 3 o'clock at the Falcons facility. And all of a sudden, around 2:15, 2:30, you see the workout has been moved to a high school and it's going to now be at 4 o'clock. And you're like, I'm sorry, what the hell is going on here?
And point of order, they moved it from basically the north, because where Flowery Branch is, it's not Metro Atlanta. It's outside mm-hmm. the burbs. It's about 20 minutes from where my thing is. Very, very affluent area out mm-hmm. there. And so what Colin did is he moved his workout to the other side of town, Riverdale. In fact, it's a thick North Lake High School out there. Beautiful campus, by the way. And that is over by the airport, which is on the most southern end of Atlanta. So so if somebody was already either in the Flowery Branch area or there, and you told them that they had to go to the place where he wanted to reschedule it, it is an hour, and that may not even include traffic because you're going literally from north to deep south.
Mm.
So I say that to say, if you had 25 people that showed up to Flowery Branch thinking he was going to be there, and now you're telling them that they have to go an hour south in order to do something that they weren't interested in doing in the first place.
That part.
So, okay. So here's my thing with this is that I see it from a couple different perspectives. The first perspective is, let's say Collins. I think this was brilliant on Colin's part. I think it looks bratty to the outside observer, but I think internally it's consistent. Mm-hmm. Basically, I think what he immediately detected was, this is a setup. This is a means for the NFL to excuse themselves for not giving me a job and to just wash their hands of this. It might have even been a condition of the settlement that they reached for collusion, because they can never disclose the terms of the settlement. So this might have been one of the terms of the settlement, and one of the terms might have been that the NFL got to determine the venue and all of that shit, right? So who knows? But that's really what I think happened. But anyways, my point is that I think what Colin suspected was that this was a setup. Again, it's happening while most of the scouts are traveling, right? So it's like, it's not convenient for them to even be there. So the fact that 25, how many teams are there even total? I don't even know.
32.
So the fact that 25 show up is actually kind of impressive, right? But I think most of them were just there to be able to say, okay, we showed up. He wasn't really in good form. Here's some edited shit that makes him look like ass. And
he was in actually wonderful form, but go ahead.
Yeah, but I think it was brilliant for him to go, no, we're going to have my camera crew for sure, so that I can do my own edit and I can, you know, release the footage the way I want to, blah, blah, blah. But also by moving the venue and making it more difficult for them to get there, it was like, if you had absolutely no, if you knew it was a no,
if you're not going to travel, you're not going to go.
So for the eight to show up, even if it was only eight, at least you know those eight motherfuckers didn't have a no.
Yeah.
Already. That's all I'm saying. So I think it was brilliant for him to go like, if you really want me, this is the whole thing you're getting. Right?
Right.
On the other side of it, from the league's perspective, this nigga is crazy. I set up a job interview for you. I brought nearly everyone to the job interview. I gave you a state-of-the-art facility, just like fucking that dude on ESPN said. I can't remember his name right now. Stephen Smith.
Stephen A, right.
Panini Press.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of this shit, and then at the very last minute, you're going to pull some fucking high yellow nigga shit on me and switch the venue all the way up. You know what I mean? Like, what?
Yeah, so, I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, just as a black man that works in corporate America and has to fucking, and actually trying to get a job, I've never even been late to a job interview.
Me either.
So for me, that part of me, I can't relate. This is a new type of blackness that I'm just going to have to, like, see how this shit work out, you know what I mean, before I can recommend it or not recommend it to my son. Because, you know, I just don't know. I can't relate to this.
You don't want to recommend it. What I think is this, in terms of Colin, I mean, and similar to Stephen A., I loved everything he stood for and all that good stuff like that. But if you really were looking at trying to get back in the league, I think that Colin should have just went to the damn workout, balled out like he did anyway. And then if you wanted to then hold a different one, sponsored by you and a venue that you chose more for the people and then had some of your other thing, that's fine. But if the true point was for you to get back on the field, if that was truly what your objective was, then who cares what video they put out or that they see? Who cares what narrative they spin in terms of that other than, yeah, he threw the ball well or whatever? Because here is the thing. He was going to get in the league regardless, whether he was rusty, whether he balled out. They were going to put him on there. Yes, they were going to bury him in the depth chart. Yeah, he might have been on a practice squad, but he was going to go on because the whole thing was to put him on a squad to continue the neutralization process, as well as they want no interruptions, no disruptions, no noise prior to the crown jewel of what they do, the Super Bowl. That is not that far away. It is November, ladies and gentlemen. This whole move was to prepare you for the playoffs and inevitably the Super Bowl and the halftime Super Bowl performance. This was the last step within the process in terms of making sure that everything was quiet and everybody's energies was not focused on that kneeling stuff that they went through. So what Colin effectively did was not only show everyone in the NFL and the league that he really does not want to play football as much as he claimed that he wanted to play. Secondly, wearing a shirt that said Kunten Kinte to this event, I just felt like it made absolutely no sense. In what shape or form, what are you trying to say? That you're a slave? Okay, well, you know what? Why are you there then? You have millions of dollars in the bank. You're broke by no means. You are sponsored by Nike and many other people. So if this is truly a slave move, or you truly feel like the NFL is what it is, or you don't trust him, why be there? What's the point? I thought that the Kunten Kinte shirt was absolutely out of line if you were truly trying to build some level of partnership with these people. And I feel as though he did exactly what they thought he might do in terms of this situation. And you no longer can really talk about not being in the NFL anymore. You can might as well stop that conversation right now, because each time they're going to go, would it have hurt you just to show up and play? Oh, okay, that's right. That's kowtowing for the man, right? Oh, I ain't going to. I'm not going to do what the man told me to do. I'm not going to do it your way. Okay, well then you need to start your own league then, Colin.
Basically. So,
okay. So here's my thing about Colin. And we have all worked in corporate America. I have never wanted something as bad as Colin Kaepernick wants to play football. That you are actually going along with this.
Yeah.
This is 3 years of them basically icing you out. They have left this nigga on red for three whole years.
Thanks.
So
absolutely,
I can understand his trepidation about trusting them. Why are y'all doing this now? And now let's add in Jay-Z. I'm like, are you doing... Because, one, this didn't come from the owners having to meet and say, we really should, like, work out Colin. This is coming from Roger Goodell. This is coming from Jay-Z.
That is correct.
Why is Jay-Z telling y'all to do something that y'all should have been did, oh, I don't know, at least 18 months ago?
And because the bad Jay-Z's part about rollout was terrible and he wanted to save some face and he figured this was the way to do it. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, the thing about it, the thing that kills me is that y'all don't even show the anthem anymore. So this is how y'all could have really, if y'all were really about it, y'all would have, as soon as he started kneeling, you'd be like, we're not showing the anthem on television no more. Period. Facts. Y'all, excuse me, Eric Reed still kneels. Kenny Steele still kneels. Nobody at home knows that shit because they don't show it. So that's how y'all really could have ended this. Because one, all this workout data show there is not a football reason why he is not in the league.
Right.
There is no football. I'm like, no, that's no one thought that Colin was not going to do well on. I'm like, of course he was. He works out every goddamn day. There's like, there's no fucking way that he was going to come out there and be terrible. Y'all pulling people out of retirement to come play quarterback. Y'all have been showing y'all asses for 3 fucking years. And that waiver that y'all gave him, where they're like, oh, it's standard. And do you have all these people going, well, technically it's not. Because why would you ask him to sign something that says, hey, if you don't get a job, you can't sue us. Who else has to sign that? Y'all showed y'all asses. Y'all should have gave him the standard waiver or let him change it to Tuesday. Y'all only gave him 2 hours to decide before y'all had even talked to teams. Y'all didn't have a meeting and say, hey, we're going to do this after week 10 and going to do this with Colin. No, y'all said, we are giving Colin a chance. And they're like, we are 32 fucking billionaires. Who the fuck you think you talking to? Because Jerry Jones said, no, I'm not sending anybody. Because these are not... All the people that are coming were not decision makers. This literally, y'all could have sent the equipment manager to come look at Colin Kaepernick on Saturday.
That's essentially what they were basically doing.
And it's why?
But the horse and pony show was actually going to lead to him coming on a team. And then at that point, he was going to have to just shut up because there was nothing he could say at that point. And that was the plan. The plan was to go ahead and just basically, like, before the end of that day, he was going to be on a team. It was already in the works. Which team it was going to be was to be determined, but it was going to be a team. That was going to be the big announcement that was going to be made. But when he showed his ass and kind of flipped it up, basically the NFL said, all right, I'm good.
Because I think the thing is, I'm sorry, after 3 years, why should he trust y'all? It's like, yeah. I'm sorry. Why should he trust you? It's like, I'm sorry. And it's like, you didn't give him a standard waiver. Y'all lied about that. You're like, oh, he had 36 hours. No, he had 2 hours. What was he going to say? No. Of course he's going to say yes. But y'all didn't. And now they're saying he might get a second workout at the owner's meeting where the owners are there. I'm like, okay, so all the owners don't make football decisions. So how is that helping him? It's like, just put him on a fucking team. If you can grab Jay Cutler out of fucking retirement, I think you could just put him on the goddamn Falcons.
Yeah, I swear.
I'm like, there's at least 28 teams that need a fucking quarterback right now, even if it's a backup quarterback. Y'all are showing y'all asses, and you're proving his point. I'm like, and to some people on the other side, Colin is proving the league's point. It's like, I'm sorry. There's a lot of blame going around, but I don't blame him for being like, okay, so I understand. I get why he's like, yeah, no. Why do you think he's a fucking lawyer? Why do you think y'all settled with his ass? Not because y'all think he's wrong. You don't settle when you settle when you think you may not win.
True.
You're weighing the options.
True. I mean, they might win in court, but they're definitely losing the court of public opinion.
Yeah,
and that was what's more important to them. I mean, it's like they were never in any real danger of any like criminal penalties. I mean, you know, no one gives a fuck about that. It was always a matter of like how the great American sport of football sat with the majority of Americans. Was it a racist sport or was it a not racist sport? Now, the irony to me is that no one does give a fuck anymore, and that Kaepernick keeps pulling this shit is. I feel like it's just a little bit to the side of what made him this extra this celebrity aside from football, right? Which was standing up for the lives of young black people and black people who are brutalized by cops. If he would stand in that truth more, I feel like you got a future, man. You could be Muhammad Ali. You know what I'm saying? Like you could be the next great athlete statesman. But I don't know what he's doing right now, and so I'm going to reserve judgment to see whether this move is brilliant or whether he just, basically blew a job interview.
Yeah, and so here's my thing. I reserve my right to be wrong. I am not Stephen A. Smith, who won't admit when he's wrong. He's like, well, people told me. I'm like, sir. Just say you are wrong. It's like, that's it. Don't be like, don't talk to me. I'm like, Stephen A., you're not right in this. You're right to your opinion. It's your opinion, and I get it. But don't say, I have facts, and then when those facts are refuted, you're like, well, I mean, what was I supposed to do? Just say you're fucking wrong.
Real simple.
And just say that, baby, sweetheart, dumpling, you are mad that Eric Reed called your ass a coon. Call a thing a thing. You mad about that? I don't know anybody who wouldn't be mad at somebody calling them a coon.
He definitely felt some type of way.
So it's like, don't say I'm not mad about that. You a goddamn lie. You're screaming up above like the decibel that you usually are, says so much different.
Oh yeah, that got me.
And I'm sorry, everybody needs a friend as loyal as Eric Reed, because I swear he is loyal to a fucking fault.
He is an absolute rider.
Eric Reed is ride or die. That's what I like about him. Yeah, I will ride with you on this ride till the wheels come off.
Yeah, that dude is Team Kaepernick forever.
And I'm like, that's fine. You need a friend as loyal as that. But I'm pretty sure he's not like rubber stamping every decision. But he has more trust in Kaepernick than he has in the league that he's still playing in.
Got that right.
So there are terrible people who play in the league. So don't act like Kaepernick is the absolute worst. I'm like,
murderers, rapists, killers.
Y'all are lying. I'm like, excuse me, Antonio Brown, who was being an absolute cancer on not one but two teams. I'm sorry, three teams.
I would say actually three. Yeah, there you go. Because it was Pittsburgh first, and he went to Oakland. And then he came to New England, and they wasn't having it. They said, nah, you can go ahead.
He's gone.
Shit.
But notice, he was able to bounce to three other teams. Greg Hardy went to from the Panthers to the Cowboys. Stop acting like Colin is a terrible, terrible, and he's the worst. I beg to differ.
Totally agree.
Richie Incognito is still playing in a goddamn league. Fuck out of my face.
He's horrible. He's around there just straight deboing cats in the locker room. Yeah.
I'm like, y'all can't do this. Y'all can't make Colin out to be this social pariah when his teammates don't say that. What teammates say he's a terrible person in the locker room? None of them.
Nah, nobody.
So where are y'all getting this from? It's like, this can't be y'all heel, and y'all made this their heel, and y'all look the fuck stupid. Just put him on a fucking team. Even if he's second string, back up to Cam. Cam Newton is on his way out from Carolina.
I think there's still a chance he gets on the team. I still think for all the reasons that Al just mentioned, in terms of neutralizing him, a nice soft rollout into the Super Bowl. I think that woke as a meme has lost most of his steam. Nobody gives a fuck. Mm-hmm. So they can safely put him on any team and he can keep doing exactly what he's doing. And no one's going to give a shit.
There are tons of people who are very outspoken on social media.
Yeah, exactly.
Everywhere. Y'all don't say, excuse me, I saw Kyle Long's whole dick on the internet. How?
I don't know. I don't want to run into it.
Y'all niggas are wilding out on the fucking internet, but Colin's a problem? Fuck out of here. Y'all are showing your ass. I'm like, excuse me. Just put him on a fucking team. Stop doing this.
Oh, man.
Like, he is not.
I totally agree with you. I just agree to get it over with. I doubt if it's going to happen, but I hope it does, though.
I hope it does, because there is not a football reason for him not to be there. You don't have one if you're pulling quarterbacks out of retirement. You don't have a reason.
Nah, there's no football reason why.
Stop proving his point.
He's way better than his backups. Way
absolutely
better.
Absolutely. So, good luck to Colin Kaepernick. Stephen A., I hope he stops screaming. He's not going to back down. That's totally fine. They still going to keep calling you a coon. That's fine, too. But,
Mr. Bojangles is what they called him. That was funny.
Ooh, child. It's like, I'm not mad. You a goddamn lie. You're lying to yourself.
He was all up in his feelings. I watched that. It was just entertainment. It was entertaining. So.
I mean, it's just like, oh. And then to have the guy on there going, so, yeah, Stephen A., you're wrong. You're wrong. And that's Mr. Howard Bryant. So he's the real MVP. He's like sitting here like, yeah, so I don't know where you're getting this from. Because this is a lie.
I got to go back. I was actually starting to watch that episode with him on there. So I got to go back and finish it. You got me all into it. Now I'm ready to roll.
So, good luck to Team Cap. Hashtag I'm still with Cap.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, Cap, man. Keep doing your thing, buddy. Keep being you. Greatest. You're the greatest of all times.
But I feel like we have a show.
I agree.
This has been very entertaining, as always. Before we get out of here, please, please, please let everybody know how they can also be From Bad News with y'all. So let them know how they can find you both and the show.
Boom. Well, you know what's funny? I just realized that I posted the last two episodes to the Woke With Kids feed as well as our SoundCloud. So look us up on either Woke With Kids or We Come From Bad News, because last two podcasts on both.
There you go. I like that. Absolutely. You can catch us out there in terms of any place you find podcasts. We Come From Bad News. Subscribe, review us, give us, tell us what's going on, what we're doing. We always take some new listeners. We talk music, culture, life, and everything in between from the perspective of two brothers that's been out here surviving since the 90s. And in terms of myself, you can check me out on Instagram, Algernon's October, on Twitter, AlDiddy1712. And then just check out We Come From Bad News on all our Facebook platforms and Twitter and all that stuff, as well as Mocha Minutes, where we all just interacting, part of a network of a village of creatives just doing what we do. That's it, man. That's what we're doing.
And check out my new song, Clouds, on Spotify and iTunes and all of the places.
Absolutely. Yeah. Check out Clouds.
N-Y-A-Z-E. N-Y-A-Z-E.
There you go. On I think right after Thanksgiving, The Irishman is coming on Netflix. It's got Al Pacino, Robert De Niro.
I can't wait to see that.
And Joe Pesci.
It's an
outstanding movie. Got a chance to see a screening. It is good. Al Pacino really steals the show. You will love this movie. It is like Goodfellas on
cinema. Steroids. I can't wait to see some real cinema.
It is very good cinema. And as you know, Scorsese knows all about real cinema, baby.
Real cinema, man. That's what I want. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
You are the best. Well, guys, these fools, I tell you what. It's like,
I had a good time with you. Yo, we really appreciate you having us on here. We had a good time. So we must do this again, and we must also have your Sunrays back on We Come From Bad News before the end of the year. I will make that happen.
Yes, please. Would love to. Guys, this has been the Mocha Minutes Podcast. I will be back next week. And everybody have a good night. I love late night podcasting.
See? Yay! See? You got to do the program. Now you got to do it. It's good
but
stuff.
I'm an auntie age, so I had to take a nap first. So, I'm like, take a nap and then start podcasting.
Smart. Yay!
Sam!
I'm about to get me something to eat, watch me some TV.
Same.
All right, y'all. Yep.
Peace.
Peace out, people. This was great.
All right.
Later.
Bye. Here we out.